Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo. My name is Larry Karnas, and in this show we are going to talk about how to minimize or eliminate unplanned VM downtime using VMware High Availability Clusters. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the questions and comments box below. All right, let's get started. VMware High Availability Clusters are intended to minimize unplanned VM downtime caused by ESX server host failures. VMware HA leverages VMware's initial placement technology originally developed for VMware DRS. Initial placement is an ability by VMware to take a virtual machine, place it on an ESX host, and then command that ESX host to boot it up. So here's how HA works. If an ESX host is a member of an HA cluster, and that ESX host should fail or crash, the remaining peers in the ESX HA cluster will detect the fact that the host has failed. They will determine the VMs that were running on the host when it failed. They will then divide up those VMs between all the surviving ESX hosts, and then through initial placement, will power on those VMs according to priority, either high, medium, or low priority. VMware HA is now available with most editions of ESX, including Standard, Advanced, Enterprise, and Enterprise Plus. To prepare for VMware HA, you need to do a little bit of homework. The key requirement for VMware HA is that it must be possible for you to place and power on all VMs on your cluster on any ESX host that runs those VMs. So this entails VMs that must live on shared storage volumes and must only use shared storage resources. So said slightly differently, none of your VMs can be allowed to connect to internal vSwitches, and they cannot use local removable media resources like local DVD or floppy media. Now, if you already have your VM set up for vMotion compatibility, well, congratulations, they're already HA compatible. It turns out that vMotion compatibility is more strict than HA, so you've already done your homework. Now, if you're creating a cluster specifically for HA, or if you're adding HA to an existing DRS cluster, then what you need to do is make sure that any hosts you add to the cluster are added by their fully qualified domain name, not by their IP address. In earlier versions of VMware software, HA would actually fail to initialize if you added hosts by IP address. Now, with vCenter and vSphere, HA is more robust, but it's still a best practice to add your hosts by fully qualified names. If you've got an existing cluster, you can turn on HA by simply editing the cluster properties and checking Turn on HA. When you do that, vCenter will reach out to each ESX host in the cluster and enable its HA local software. If you're creating a new cluster, simply make a new cluster, right-click on a data center or a folder directly below the data center, select New Cluster, and when you're setting up the properties of the new cluster, be sure to check Turn on VMware HA. There are some global properties that you need to set for VMware HA. The first property is the host monitoring status. By default, this is turned on and it instructs HA to actually monitor the health of each host in the cluster. This way, if a host should fail, its peers would immediately detect the failure and take failure recovery action. The next setting is admission control. Admission control allows you to tune the cluster for resource allocation policies. Under normal circumstances, a VM with a reservation will not power on if that reservation cannot be met. With admission control, you can continue to honor that policy, or you can ask VMware HA to simply ignore reservations and place and power on VMs so that they run, perhaps not with all the resources they want, but at least they place and run. This is a reasonable setting because HA deals with host failures. If a host has failed, its megahertz and megabytes are no longer available to the cluster, so disregarding reservations to allow you to place and boot all critical VMs would allow those VMs to run where otherwise they may not be allowed to. The third policy you need to consider is admission control policy. This is different from admission control, and what you do with admission control policy is you specify how HA will withhold resources specifically to cope with a host cluster failure. You have three options. You can explicitly set the number of ESX host failures you want the cluster to tolerate. The default is one, but it can be higher. You can explicitly set the percentage of cluster resources that will be held in reserve specifically to cope with ESX host failures. Or, if you like, you can specify a standby host, which would be another ESX host that will act by stepping in to take ownership of all VMs that die when a host dies. Once you set up the HA cluster policy and you tell it OK to apply, you may encounter an error that says that there are insufficient host resources to satisfy the configured HA failover level. This is HA's way of telling you that your ESX hosts are too busy to tolerate the failure of a single host. Or said slightly differently, there isn't enough spare resources on your ESX hosts to receive the VMs that fail when your busiest host fails. There's really only a couple of ways to solve this problem. One way would be to power down unneeded VMs. Another way would be to upgrade your ESX hosts, give them more CPU and more RAM. And a third way would be to actually add another host to your HA cluster so that there's more available cycles and megabytes available should a host fail. Because VMware HA is failure recovery technology, what HA must do is hold back a certain amount of resources on each ESX host sufficient to place and power on all the VMs of the most busy host in the cluster at that moment in time. The most common way this is done is to hold back resources as a percentage of the number of hosts that make up the cluster. So for example, if I have a two-node HA cluster, I can only drive each host to a maximum of 50% busy. The reason for that, of course, is that if one host dies and the other host is only 50% busy, there is enough reserve space to place and power on all the VMs that died when the host died. If I create a three-node cluster, I can now drive my individual ESX hosts up to 66% busy because if one host dies, I can take half of its workload, one-third of a host, put it on each of the remaining ESX hosts, and there's sufficient resources to make it happen. If I have four hosts in an HA cluster, then I only need to hold back 25% of each host because, again, if one host dies, I take one-third of the VMs on the failed host and put it on each of the three surviving servers, and each server has sufficient resources to power on and run the failed VM. HA peers need to know the health status of their counterparts in the HA cluster. They do that by heart beating each other through the service console. What this means is periodically each HA ESX host will send out a heartbeat request to its peers. Are you alive? And expect an answer almost immediately back saying, yes, I'm alive. Because all peers heartbeat all other peers, the result is each ESX host knows the health status of all of its peers on an ongoing basis. By default, there's only a 15-second interval for each ESX host to respond to a heartbeat. If an ESX host does not respond to a heartbeat, then it is possible, but not guaranteed, that the ESX host that fails to respond is down. The reason it's not guaranteed is because it is possible that the ESX host that's not responding is failing to do so because, not of a failure, but because it's lost service console network connectivity. So for example, if the virtual switch that contains my service console port suffers a cable pull on its uplinking NIC, suffers a switch port failure, or in fact suffers a NIC failure, then it would be impossible for the Service Console port to either send out or respond to heartbeats. This is a major concern because it can result in HA cluster false positives, that is, the belief that a host has failed when it hasn't. A good way to get around this is to add redundancy to the Service Console network, and you do that by either nickteaming the vSwitch that contains your Service Console port, or you create a second Service Console port on another vSwitch that uses a separate physical NIC to uplink to the physical LAN segment. Another key setting in VMware HA is the cluster default settings for VM restart. VM restart sets the default priority to place and restart VMs on a failed ESX host. You have four options. You can set restart to high, medium, low. You can use the cluster default settings, or another option is to simply have restart disabled altogether. Although if you set restart to disabled across the cluster, you're essentially defeating HA. Now, my own best practice is to set the cluster restart priority to low. That means all VMs on the failed host are set to the same priority and will all be placed and restarted equally. Now, fortunately, you can override the cluster default on a VM-by-VM basis. And my own best practice is that what you do is you override the default cluster restart priority, which is low, for your critical infrastructure VMs. What you do is you set your critical infrastructure VMs, like Active Directory, domain controllers, DNS servers, DHCP servers, to high. These machines provide services that all the machines on your network consume, and if these services are unavailable, you will suffer significant problems in the delivery of services. Next, what you would do is go through your VM list again and take your critical business VMs and set their restart priority to medium. Critical business VMs would be SQL VMs, web server VMs, VMs for business applications like enterprise resource planning software, database VMs, Exchange VMs, that sort of thing. That way, once your critical infrastructure VMs are up and running, your critical business VMs are placed and powered on second. All other VMs can be left at low, and test dev QA and training VMs may in fact be better off as disabled. That way, if an HA host fails, then the cluster will not try to place and power on VMs that are not mission critical, again, like test dev QA and training VMs. Another setting that you need to give some thought to is the host isolation response policy. Host isolation response says, what does an ESX host do if it detects that it's become isolated through its Service Console network? Again, remember that the Service Console network is not only used for management tasks, like VM management and host management, but it's also used for cluster heartbeat to detect the health or failure of the health of an individual ESX host. If my host becomes isolated on the Service Console network, it can no longer receive management commands, it can no longer heartbeat peers, and so on. So I have three settings that I can select for isolation response. I can leave my VMs powered on and running. If that's the case, then my VMs, assuming they use a different NIC to connect to the production LAN segment and so on, will continue to run, will continue to be accessible to my physical network peers and VMs on other ESX hosts. I will simply lose vCenter management over them because vCenter management goes through the Service Console and it's isolated. If management is important to you, you have two options. The gentler of the two options is to have the isolated host contact VMware Tools in each VM and tell the VM to do an orderly shutdown. This will invoke scripts on each host that cause the VM to gently terminate each task and service and then perform an orderly shutdown. Now the good news is that this is a safe way to shut down. The bad news is again, because we are isolated, there's no way to know if this task is successful or whether VMs may have ignored the request or simply failed partway through shutting down. Because you can't manage the ESX host, what would happen is the ESX host would simply wait and wait and wait for the VM to shut down, and it may never actually complete. The third option is to actually power crash your VM. Power crashing your VM is the virtual machine equivalent to pulling the power plug on a physical machine. It immediately crashes the VM, which is very hard on a virtual machine. It could result in critical data loss, and it's generally not a desirable option. But it's the only option that guarantees that the VM is actually brought to a power-off state with no risk of it hanging. There's another setting that I need to consider, and that's VM monitoring status. VM monitoring status is a feature of HA clusters that allows HA to restart individual VMs if VMware Tools is not responding to heartbeats within a set period of time. You can turn this on if you like. You can set the monitoring sensitivity to 3 presets, low, medium, or high, or you can pick a custom value. It's my preference to actually just pick a custom value and fine-tune the monitoring that HA does for my individual VMs. I should explain that this service is useful if you're still running legacy VMs that are subject to guest OS or application instability. If you have VMs that routinely lock up, blue screen, or otherwise go unresponsive, this feature can actually push the virtual reset button of the VM and bring the VM back in service. Now, if you go custom, you can set the failure interval, which means the period of time to wait between checks to make sure that each VM is healthy. You can set the minimum uptime, and that is the period of time in seconds that the testing software waits after a reboot to check to see that the VM is healthy. You can also set the number of VM resets per unit of time, and the unit of time is in hours. So you could say no more than, say, three resets a day, three resets a week, and so on. You would have to experiment with this to find out the optimal value for your situation. If you're making a brand new cluster, you need to now add physical ESX hosts to your HA cluster. Once the cluster is made and you've finished editing its settings, literally drag and drop your ESX host or hosts on top of the HA cluster in your inventory. By dragging and dropping a host onto your cluster, you're instructing vCenter to go ahead and configure that host for HA. When a host is added to HA, then what happens is vCenter reaches out to that host, enables the HA agents on the ESX host, and then publishes the entire cluster configuration to that HA host. Publishing the cluster configuration is critical because, again, this is a failure recovery cluster, and the assumption is that any host can die at any time. So consequently, each HA cluster peer needs to know exactly what's going on across the entire cluster. Now, what if you actually need to take a host out of a cluster temporarily, say to do maintenance? You don't just simply reboot the machine or shut it down because, again, HA is a failure response cluster, and if a machine goes offline unexpectedly, that would kick in HA's failure response policy. So what you do instead is you right-click on the host that you need to take offline and you select Enter Maintenance Mode. Under Maintenance Mode, your ESX host will not accept any new virtual machine power-ons, and if your host is vMotion compatible, it will not accept any inbound vMotion requests. Okay? Once you've got the host in maintenance mode, if it's your host is part of an HA cluster, you would need to manually shut down or migrate all of the VMs off of your host before you would actually be allowed to bring your host down. What if setting up your HA cluster causes you some difficulties? Some simple things to check are IP networking and the services that are dependent upon IP networking. So for example, HA is very sensitive to Service Console networking issues, so you'd want to make sure that services like DNS work, that all your IP addresses are correct, that you haven't got any NIC failures or cable pulls, that sort of thing. If a host is a peer in an HA cluster, you should avoid pointing the vSphere client directly at that host and managing it. That is, managing it outside of vCenter. If vCenter sees that there's something going on with the HA host that it didn't request, there is a risk that vCenter will actually evict the host from your HA cluster, automatically triggering the failure response policy. That may result in VMs that shut down or power crash so that they can be placed on healthy hosts. If you're trying to set up an HA cluster and it's just not working, what you can do is simply uncheck the cluster by editing its settings and unchecking initialize VMware HA. That turns off HA, and quite often if you just turn it back on again, things will work. Going back to the whole concept of IP problems, be aware that HA is sensitive to Service Console default gateway settings. If your Service Console default gateway is wrong, HA will fail to initialize on that host, and it will cough up a fairly cryptic error. So it's a good practice to just go and review the default gateway properties of your Service Console under the DNS and routing option in the Configuration tab, just to make sure that that setting is correct. HA clusters cooperate quite nicely with distributed resource scheduling clusters. Again, HA solves one problem, which is failure recovery, and DRS solves the second problem, which is load balancing. So it's perfectly reasonable to have an HA cluster without DRS, in which case if a host fails, the VMs will be placed and powered on surviving peers, but they will not be load balanced. It's also perfectly reasonable to have a DRS cluster without HA, in which case, if a host fails, DRS will detect the loss of the host and simply load balance the VMs on the surviving ESX host, making no effort to place and power on the failed VMs. Clearly, these two go best when they go together. And when that happens, if a host fails, HA will place and restart the VMs, and DRS will then load balance the VMs across the surviving peers. Once you fix the failed host and boot it up again, it will automatically reinsert itself into the cluster, and VMs will automatically vMotion over to the newly added host to load balance the cluster. That's our talk on VMware high availability clusters. Again, VMware HA clusters are intended to defend you against unanticipated VM downtime caused by ESX host failures. So, should an ESX host that's a member of an HA cluster fail, HA will detect the failure of the host, consult its configuration to determine which VMs died, will then do an initial placement of the failed VMs onto the surviving peers in the HA cluster, and instruct the new ESX owners to actually power on and run those VMs. HA eliminates unplanned, that is, unscheduled VM downtime caused by ESX host failures, reducing that downtime to no more than a few minutes should a host fail. I hope you've enjoyed today's presentation, and I thank you for listening. I would like to remind you that if you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you are interested in listening to my other radio shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Larry Karnas. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the questions and comments box. Thanks again for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.